The views and opinions expressed by the following program are those of the host, guest, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station or the Webster Rock Hill Ministries, its management, or other host or underwriting sponsors. Programs presented on KWRHLP are for educational and entertainment purposes only. Views which are presented are for educational purposes only and are not intended to treat, diagnose, or claim any cure of disease or condition.
This is Amanda LaPlante. You're listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRHLP 92.9 FM. I'm here today with James Harris, owner of Brentwood Barbell. Hello, James. How are you this morning?
I'm good, Amanda. How are you?
I'm doing well. James, why don't you tell us a little bit about your gym and what makes you different?
Sure. We've had the gym up and running for about a year and a half now. And what we do with clients is we focus on putting them on a basic strength program. And this was something that I saw a need for as I was in the St. Louis sort of physical therapy world. I was working outpatient orthopedics and then got involved with some other gyms and loved the idea of starting a gym, but just didn't really see very many locations where you could go and learn the skills of weightlifting and barbell lifting. And so that's something that I'm really passionate about. And so when we decided to put the gym together, that was really the core of our philosophy, is to teach the skill of lifting weights with barbells.
Yeah, and James has been on the show before, and we did a great segment on the many health benefits of strength training.
Absolutely. Yeah. We talked quite a bit about that.
Yeah. So I really highly recommend people go back to that episode and catch that. I think there was some very good, you know, just valuable information there. So I want to dig a little bit more into who you're really focusing on and who you're working with right now.
Sure. We got a broad range of clients, as I would, expect most gyms do. I am a 38-year-old father and husband, and so I identify with that demographic quite a lot. And so we certainly have, those young working professionals in our gym. But we also have some other demographics that I think are really worth noting. And, so we do some work with some young athletes. But then we also have this neat little niche working with clients that are a little older. We have quite a few people in our gym that are between the ages of, 50 and 75. And one of the things that we do with them that I think is unique is we put them on a barbell strength program. And lo and behold, they respond just like everyone else does. They get stronger, they get healthier. Their response is a little bit different in terms of, the robustness of it, but they absolutely get stronger and healthier. And we work with those folks the same way, and it really works well for them.
So cool. I hope that I am benching something at age 70, 75.
Absolutely.
I just think it's fantastic to see what aging can be.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's a really worth, a lot of times people will come in and they'll say, well, should I be doing this type of exercising? I have this or that going on. And it's even more important at that point in their life that they be doing that type of exercise. So hopefully we'll talk a little bit about that today.
Yeah, let's jump into that later. So what types of injuries are common among your clients? Like if you're working around injuries, because I know that's a big excuse for a lot of people to not get into the gym.
It is. So we definitely get our share of injuries. One thing we get, again, is just clients that are a little bit older and they don't necessarily have a specific injury, but things hurt, right? Like, oh, my back bothers me or my knees bother me. So we get a lot of this sort of like non-traumatic, type of pain. They're just, things hurt and they don't know why it hurts. They just know that it hurts. So we definitely have a lot of those folks. And then something we've started seeing a little bit more recently is we are starting to get some clients coming in with specific, medical issues, and they're coming to us because, they've heard things like, hey, you guys worked with so-and-so and they had a great experience. I got this going on with my knee. Do you think you can help? And so those are the types of people that we're starting to work with now.
Very cool. So what are you guys comfortable? Why are you comfortable working with these clients? Like, what is it that makes your approach different?
Yeah, I think the reason, or one of the reasons that we're so comfortable doing this type of work is I'm not only an owner of a gym, I'm also a licensed physical therapist. And my coaches are physical therapy assistants and or physical therapy students. So we have this neat little niche in that we're equally passionate about, you know, rehabilitation principles, but also strength and conditioning. And my experience has been that you can find a lot of people that are really good in one area or the other, but it's sort of unusual or difficult to find that person that has a firm grasp on both. And I think that's us.
So how do you get these clients started in a gym full of barbells?
Okay, so that's a good question. First of all, we have to sort of walk them off the ledge because, you know, they walk in and they're like, well, where are the machines? Where are the things that they would typically see in maybe a health club or a bigger gym? And I would say there's a couple of reasons that we're able to get these guys moving. And so number one, we have a very simple, we'll call it algorithm for working with any client with pain. And so we want to keep their program as much like somebody who has zero limitations as possible, right? So we always sort of work from that assumption. But then we have a series of questions that we ask the person as we're designing their program. And, you know, there's three simple questions. The first one is there a weight in which we can perform this exercise that does not produce pain, right? So that's the first thing, the easiest modification. We just lower the weight. The next question that we'll ask them, is there a range of motion in which we can perform this exercise that does not produce pain, right? And then the third one would be, is there a variation of this exercise that we can perform that does not produce pain? And so essentially what we're able to do with some of these answers as we're evaluating them is we're able to put together a program that takes these things into consideration. So we can put them on a real program that will produce strength so they can get that training stimulus that they need, but we can do so working within the context of their needs.
Okay. So what are some of kind of the key points to consider there?
Sure. So I think the biggest thing to consider is if you can start training, you can get better, right? That's the biggest thing is often people will come in and they'll say, you know, well, I shouldn't be lifting weights because I have a bad back. That's exactly why you should be lifting weights, right? We have to teach you how to pick things up so you don't hurt your back. So if you can start, you can make progress. Something else to consider is we have a structured progression for the exercises that we use. So the exercises in the program are also our evaluation tool, right? So we have a very structured model. We work each client through that model, and then we make adjustments based on the particular response. And then finally, something that is important is that we sort of know the end game, right? We know what the ideal situation is. And if we know that, then we can work backwards from there.
Okay. Yeah. So reverse engineer the program.
Absolutely.
Very cool. So what does a typical beginner program look like?
Well, it's probably more simple than people might think. We love to get people training 2 to 3 times a week. If we can get that schedule on their calendar, that's fantastic.
And how long is training?
Typically an hour. We have some of our younger athletes with maybe more aggressive goals that might train 90 minutes, and they might train 3 or 4 times a week. But on average, you're going to try to get to the gym 2 to 3 times a week, and you're going to train for about an hour. And that program is going to consist mostly of basic barbell exercises. So we're going to pick things up off of the floor. We're going to squat down. We're going to stand up, and we're going to take barbells and push or press them overhead.
Gotcha. So what is kind of the typical, you know, in the course of a week, what does the routine look like?
Sure. So the standard, you know, program that we would start someone with before we start to make any modifications would be on Monday, they would come in, they would perform some variation of a squat exercise. And we'll typically ask them to do 2 work sets of like maybe 6 reps. And then they'll move on to an upper body exercise, and that's either going to be the overhead press or the bench press. And they'll do 3 work sets there of 5 to 6 reps. And then the last thing they'll do on Monday is they will pick weight up off of the floor or deadlift, and we'll have them do 1 set of 5 to 6 reps there. So that's basically what they're going to do on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And then as the weight starts to get a little heavy and the stress starts to accumulate on that program, we start making adjustments to accommodate that so they can continue to make progress. But essentially, we don't change anything until we have to, and then we try to manipulate one variable at a time so we can continue to monitor progress and success.
So I want to kind of ask a question here that went through my mind. It's like, ooh, you know, we're talking about lifting weights and it sounds like it's going to be pretty vigorous, you know, strenuous activity getting into that. And then you say an hour long. I want to put people's minds at ease though, because you've told me before, it's not just an hour of, you know, we're squatting and lifting and doing that the whole time. I thought it was interesting how you spaced the activity out over the hour.
Yeah. So, you know, typically what you're going to see is the session is going to consist of three different exercises. You know, so they're going to come in and they're going to have their list of things to do. And then they're going to just start sort of warming up for those exercises. So, you know, you may spend 15 minutes squatting total, but only, you know, a couple minutes of that time are actual sort of what we would call work sets. So there's a lot of technique work. There's a lot of prep work. There's a lot of communication between us and the members about how their program is going. And so, you know, yeah, there's a lot of other things happening there. Not just purely lifting weights for an hour straight.
Well, and I noticed that your members have a notebook.
Absolutely. So we talk a lot about that, right? So when they come in and they finally get that program from us after our evaluation, we want them to track it. We want them to write things down. And when we make coaching decisions in the future, we want to base it off of that book and good information so we can make the best decision for them.
Very cool. So yeah, so I think that's really great. And I think it's so cool for people to see the progress, right? It's so motivating to just see, even if it's a little bit of progress.
It's a really big deal. And so something that I had not planned on, we are very, very popular with people that work in the financial sector and
numbers
and engineering, engineers. So, and yeah, it's the numbers, right? They like to see the measurable progress from session to session, and they really get into that. So that's sort of unintended, but been cool to see.
It is cool to see. Yeah, I know as a health coach too, there's some people that I have to approach it from numbers, from a numbers perspective,
yeah.
Because if they're in the financial sector or something like that, that really works for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm here with James Harris of Brentwood Barbell. This has been Amanda LaPlante, and we'll be right back after these messages. This is Amanda LaPlante of Get Real to Heal. You are listening to KWRH LP 92.9 FM, your community radio station in Webster Groves, Missouri.
This program is underwritten by Diversified Health and Wellness Center, located at 11042 Manchester Road in Kirkwood, and online at diversifiedhwc.com. We are a network of dedicated professionals providing a diverse array of integrated health and wellness services. Our goal is to help our clients find complete health solutions for body, mind, and spirit.
This is Amanda LaPlante. Listen to my show, Get Real to Heal, every Monday morning at 9:30 and every Friday morning at 9:30 here on KWRH LP 92.9 FM. This is Amanda LaPlante, and we're back with James Harris of Brentwood Barbell on Get Real to Heal. James, I want to dig in a little deeper on some of the things that we were talking about in the first half.
Okay.
So we were talking about a beginner program for someone that's coming in with a pre-existing injury.
Mm-hmm.
So how might you modify that program for this type of client?
Sure. So we have a couple of things that are expected when working with somebody that's coming in with an issue or a limitation. We're going to go back to the algorithm that we discussed earlier, and that is there a weight we can work at that doesn't hurt? Is there a range of motion that we can work in that doesn't hurt? And is there an exercise variation we can use that doesn't hurt? Once we've done that and we sort of got their program shaped a little, then what we're going to do is just step back and say, what are some things that you can expect from this person? Well, we know that if they get started, they're going to make progress, without a doubt. But we also might say this person's progress might be a little bit slower. Instead of saying we're going to add 5 pounds every workout, we might say we're going to try to add 5 pounds every fifth workout or third workout or as often as we can. So you'll definitely see that for sure. Again, we're going to go back to the exercise selection. So we're going to put them in a position that maximizes their comfort or their confidence, right? So that's a big deal. If we can get the process started and just give them a little bit longer timeline to work with, they're going to do well.
So what are some of the, this is a big question. I feel like there are a lot of misconceptions, right, about weight training and rehabilitation or training with injuries. But can you break down some of common misconceptions for us?
Sure. So one of the things that we'll hear quite often is, I'll use the example, I can't lift weights because I have a bad back. So a person coming in with that type of issue needs to lift weights. Their back hurts. And so if we get their back stronger, chances are it will hurt less or less frequently or less severely. So the person that's coming in with an issue is even in greater need of strength training. Another one that we hear a lot is, I don't want to bulk up, right? So, well, I'm curious about lifting weights, but I don't want to gain weight. And so this is one of the funniest things to me. Gaining weight while through lifting weights is sort of this massive intervention. And I always tell people it's kind of like not running for a local school board because you're afraid that you're going to end up being president of the United States. it's absurd. So in order to gain weight, it requires copious amounts of food, lots of testosterone, and just this absolute massive action towards gaining weight. If you come in and weight train 3 times a week, you're not going to get bigger. I promise you. It just doesn't work that way. So those are two probably of the biggest issues that we work through with clients.
Well, and I want to say one day over coffee, I remember you saying, like, I'm trying to get bigger. Like,
absolutely.
If you figure out, like, you know, like, yeah, if they could bottle that, you know,
no,
but
yeah, no kidding.
It's not as easy as people think.
I mean, no kidding. I remember a phase where I was drinking a gallon of whole milk a day, in addition to eating food. Okay. So we were talking like 6,000-7,000 calories a day, and it took me months to gain 20 pounds. So the average person coming in to be in better shape, to get stronger, is not going to gain any weight. So that, you know, we have to sort of walk them off the ledge in that respect.
Now, what about, and this one hits close to home for me because I have terrible balance, my balance issues. I have Meniere's disease. And so for years I've had inner ear issues and off and on, I have balance problems. So
sure.
Yeah, talk to that.
Yeah, so I always like to tell people that one of our favorite things about barbell training is that you have to not fall over. Right. So when you're picking up a barbell and you're moving it through space, the potential to fall over is there. Right. So but you don't. So your balance got better. You're handling more weight over a given time frame. And so we're challenging the balance system more relative to the weight increases over time. So what we're seeing is the demand is going up on the balance system, but you're responding by not falling over. So, you know, that's something that we talk to people a lot. We'll have clients come in and they'll say, well, you know, my doctor says I need to work on my balance. And that's perfect. We have the perfect program for you. So that's definitely a big one. And, you know, just in general, I think a lot of times balance issues are really weakness or strength issues in disguise. So you'll see people that have gait issues or they're walking or they're not comfortable going up and down stairs. And almost 100% of the time, if their legs or hips were a little bit stronger, they'd be more confident and they'd be more comfortable navigating that terrain. So it's not really so much a balance issue as it is just the muscles they're not capable of doing the job they should be doing.
Yeah, depending on the person, I could definitely see that. That makes a whole lot of sense. Yeah. So, okay, what about people that say, okay, weightlifting sounds dangerous. I don't want to get hurt.
Yeah, so it's statistically speaking, it's pretty safe until you get to like the ultra competitive levels of weightlifting. And even then, it's still pretty safe. It's funny to me that we don't think anything about, for example, playing soccer or a 46-year-old middle-aged guy going and playing pickup basketball. The injury rates are so much higher doing those types of things, but we do them without even thinking about them. And then we're concerned about picking weight up off of the floor after we've been taught properly how to do that. We've added 5 pounds at a time. You've been doing this for 6 months. So it's a little bit silly that we're so concerned with getting hurt lifting weights when we do all these things that are much higher velocity, much higher impact, and the potential to get hurt doing them is much greater than lifting weights.
Well, and just thinking, I'm big on eating and moving and doing like our ancestors did as well. And that's a very natural movement,
absolutely.
You know, up off the floor. Basketball, yeah, how long's that been around?
Sure.
The body's maybe not as adapted to that, but I think you're right. That speaks to that it is a pretty safe thing to do as long as you're doing it right.
Yeah, you know, you need a good coach and you need an intelligent program. And when you put those two things together, you know, the risk of getting hurt is as low as it could be.
Now, what about people that, you know, and again, I think we've touched on how important it is to do this as we age, and that it's not something like somebody could come in and start doing this at 50, 60 years old, and that's not off limits. But I think a lot of people say, you know, when I was younger, I used to do it, but I can't really do it now.
Yeah, I would argue that the older you get, the more important it is for you. If we look at strength training and what it really is, what we're doing is we're training your muscles to work more effectively. Muscles pull on bones, and so when we're moving weight, we're asking those muscles to pull harder. So those muscles respond by getting stronger. They can produce more force. So force production is a big deal. That's what is allowing us to get up out of a chair and walk up and down stairs and get in and out of a car and do the things that we do every single day without even thinking about it. It's force production. And so strength training maintains or improves force production.
And that's, you know, my next question was going to be, you know, just again, digging into why is strength training so important?
Yeah.
And I think you touched on it.
It's absolutely that. Force production is the key to either greater sport performance and or just improved quality of life, hands down.
Absolutely. And I think that's what we all want as we age, right? You know, we see so many scary things as people get older. And it's like, if we can just be that 70-year-old that's able to go to the gym and do this, awesome would that be?
That's a pretty good life.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, and I have to, so you've coached me a little bit around, I have these chronic conditions, like one of the autoimmune issues that I deal with is ankylosing spondylitis. So for listeners, basically that means that at some point, it's possible due to chronic inflammation that parts of my spine will fuse together solid.
Correct.
Yeah. So it terrifies me. That's one of the most terrifying thoughts is to just lose that ability to move in that range of motion. And so you were explaining to me how I shouldn't be scared to come in and do some strength training because there are actually benefits even for conditions like that.
For sure. And I think I remember us talking about it that day. And I said, so what's the alternative? Right? Not training. So you still have the condition. Will weight training make the condition go away? Absolutely not. We still have to live your life. And force production is still important. Independence is still important. All of the things that you want to get out of life still matter, whether or not you have a condition. Strength training improves those things and those abilities. So, you know, we're not claiming to be able to take that away. But what we are going to say is that you're going to live a happier, healthier, more productive life if you're stronger.
And that is exactly what I want. I think the combination of a nice anti-inflammatory diet and this type of approach to strength is just really important for people like me that deal with these chronic conditions to have a better outlook.
It's hard to beat.
You bet. So I want to spend just a couple more minutes talking about some of the recent trends in fitness.
Sure.
And your take on them.
Absolutely. So, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, something like high intensity interval training.
Okay.
Or, you know, some of these other trends that are out there that are just a little intense.
So the high intensity thing is very interesting. When I was just getting into coaching, I felt as a coach that it was my job to put people through these types of sessions. You know, so much so that like, oh, my client can't be standing still for a minute. Otherwise, he's going to say, well, I'm paying for this time. And then, you know, as you get a little older and into the game a little bit more, you start to be able to step back and take sort of the long view. And you say, well, what am I doing with this client? What do they need from me from a long-term perspective? And when you approach it like that, you can see that high-intensity training is great when it's great. And so, but it isn't until it isn't. So you can step back and work with this client and give them what they need. So if somebody's coming in and they're terrified of lifting weights, then our first goal is to just get them to the gym 3 times a week without being terrified. Once we've done that, then we can start to worry a little bit more about performance. Once we have a little bit going in that direction, way down the road, we can maybe introduce some sort of higher intensity work. But I think that you'll see as you work, if someone works with a more experienced coach, you're going to get that sort of response as opposed to just sort of being thrown into the meat grinder, which is sort of the current thing that's going on right now. And it's like, who can suffer the most? Well, that approach isn't necessarily the best long-term view for most people.
So James, thanks so much for coming on today. I really appreciate it. James
Absolutely.
Harris of Brentwood Barbell, and tell people how they can contact you or get in touch with you to find out more.
So they can check out brentwoodbarbell.com. We're working on a new site that should be up actually in the next week or so. So hopefully by the time this airs, we will have that up. They could also give us a call at the gym, 314-942-9004. And they could also check us out on Facebook or Instagram.
Awesome. This has been Amanda LaPlante. You've been listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRHLP 92.9 FM. For more information about health coaching or to contact me, find me online at amandalaplante.com. or on Facebook at Get Real to Heal.